gang. Welcome to another exciting episode, another exciting week of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN. RepublicBroadcasting.org, it is the ballpoint pen of free speech. Why? Because, A, the pen is mightier than the sword, and B, those daggone commies never figured out how to do a ballpoint pen. Actually, that's what some guy in the Soviet Union, who was talking about how far behind the Soviet Union was in terms of technology, said, we haven't even mastered the ballpoint pen yet. Computers, we haven't even mastered the ballpoint pen. But we have here, and we speak freely, and really important information, really important analysis, and that's what you get from RBN. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, follow the instructions, send badly needed fundage, and then go to nationalbugle.com. Oh boy, are we posting stuff. In fact, I mean, I've got a few pictures up there. I got a few new articles. Let's see what we have up there. Of course, we have the Kosher-tified app. That's great. And you're going to download that and have a non-kosher certified lifestyle. If you haven't seen it lately, you can look down in the immigration and demographics section, and you'll see a picture of the Black Lives Matter white cucky priest or minister from Charlottesville. He's up there. And then you see a Chinese-American female writer for The Atlantic saying that Omicron is forcing us to rethink mild COVID. And my commentary is this article is a word and brain salad of, quote, because the coronavirus is getting milder, it's actually more deadly, unquote. Chinese American girls are better at writing this kind of gibberish than white girls because not only are they completely gullible, but they have a firmer command of the English language. And then I've got a picture over there. And by the way, The Atlantic's COVID-19 coverage is supported by grants from the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative. Because, of course. Okay, and this is our Monday show. We've got Cato with us. Cato, welcome to the show.
Yes, good to be here, Dr. Slattery. Yes, unfortunately, Chinese girls who come to America or are born in America are just as susceptible as the white girls, the native white girls are. And it's unfortunate.
Maybe not just as, but they can be.
They can be. I'll be more intelligently, but nonetheless susceptible.
And I mean, but even the ones who still have an accent tend to do better than certainly better than blacks, but often better than whites at the verbal section of the SAT, which is kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, although anyone does better than blacks.
But I can't say I would do better at a Chinese character test than a Chinaman, but I wouldn't be too embarrassed. I'd do okay.
Better than the white man. Better than the average white man.
But you know what white man is better at them than I am?
Ralph Nader,
and we were talking about whatever languages or whatever, and I had said I could like read 2,000, and he said, well, when I was at Yale, I could read 5,000. I thought, well, okay, beat me on that one. So he studied Chinese. I don't know if like when he was at Yale, that would have been like 1950, and I don't know to what extent. Well, maybe even later than 50, but I don't know to what extent people studying Chinese in the 50s would have been able to practice it because there weren't that many Chinese people around and you weren't going to go to China. You might go to Taiwan, but if you can't go and speak, you can learn all those characters.
Of course.
This might be an exaggeration, but he did say 5,000. That's what he said.
Of course, there's also the difference between traditional characters and modern characters. Jianti versus Fanti. Jianti is the modern, and then Fanti is traditional. So,
yeah.
Or do I have them back? Well, one of the mainland China uses the.
You said Dian?
Jian, I think Jian Ti is modern because Jian means to
Jian Tong or something like that would be tradition.
Yeah, Jian Tong.
Pronunciation's horrible, but I can write it. So the traditional characters are still used in Taiwan and Hong Kong, and I guess like the Chinese communities in other places like Malaysia and Thailand probably use it.
Yeah, Singapore.
Singapore, yeah. I think Singapore went. Singapore's the only place outside of mainland China that uses the simplified characters, I believe. Oh. I think they switched. When I was there, they probably used both. But when I was there the first time, they were using traditional. But Lee Kuan Yew, who was ethnic Chinese, he's Hakka, and he was big on Mandarin, whereas most of the Chinese in the Chinese ethnic Chinese in Singapore are from the Canton or Fujian or Hakka speaking regions. But but he was big on, but you know, so you already had multiple Chinese languages being spoken in Singapore, and he wanted to consolidate everything to Mandarin. So they had a campaign for a while, I think in the late 80s or 90s. It's like, if you want to make a statement, if you're Chinese and you want to say something, say it in Mandarin. I think it was something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Mandarin is the unifying language of China.
Yeah. Anywho, so we've got some stuff to go over today. The first thing I wanted to get to, which isn't directly about China, was this article from the Daily Stormer with Vic. Well, okay, so the article, the headline is, have you taken it? You've at least glanced at it, right?
Yeah, I got it in front of me.
Okay. U.S. to inflict, quote, very sharp pain very fast, unquote, on Russia, deranged government woman says. And then there's a bunch of pictures of Victoria Nuland. So her quote, and this quote comes from RT, the quote is, I'm not going to preview 18 different scenarios. I would simply say that our commitment and the conversation that we have with our allies is around inflicting very sharp pain very fast if Russia makes this move in any form.
Yeah, deranged, psychotic Jewish female.
She is Jewish, and she's married. So Anglin goes over a little bit of her resume and also her husband's resume. And one thing I didn't know, I didn't realize that her husband, I knew her husband was a Jewish activist who was an associate with Bill Kristol, worked with, at the same time Tucker Carlson was there, worked on at the Weekly Standard. And Tucker Carlson was actually a protege of William Kristol. But if you read his book, one of the fools on the book cover of Ship of Fools is William Kristol. And, you know, he says William Kristol is a complete neocon, although he's a nice enough person to deal with personally. Whereas the same applies to Robert Kagan, except that's Victoria Nuland's husband, except that he's not a nice person. And his idea of debate is shouting louder. Jumping even louder.
As are with a lot of Jews.
Yeah, but you think before he was at the Weekly Standard, I didn't know this, he was a Reagan administration speechwriter for Secretary of State George Shultz.
Oh. Oh, Robert Reagan?
Yeah, Shultz was for about 7 years in the Reagan administration. He was the Secretary of State for the last 7 years or so. And before that, he had been Nixon's Secretary of Commerce and Secretary of Treasury. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's they're definitely all over.
Well, you know, this is the thing. How many times do you hear about some Jew and then find out that they were a speechwriter for like presidents? And so you've got David Frum from Canada. He's not even an American Jew. David Frum from Canada was W's speechwriter. He's the guy who coined the phrase the axis of evil. He wrote W's 2002 State of the, I think it was 2002 State of the Union. It could have been 2003. It was one or the other. No, it must have been 2000. It must have been 2002. It was when they were really kicking off the buildup for the Iraq War. And, you know, so there's the axis of evil, which was Iraq, North Korea, and Iran. I think those were the axis of evil countries.
Like Syria, too.
Syria was like second tier. So Syria was like in the minor leagues, Syria, Libya, and somewhere else in the minors. Yeah. So you got David Frum. Then, Ben Stein. Do you know who Ben Stein is?
Yeah, he was that one Jew that was behind that movie, what, Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed or something.
Was he? Because he's done that. He's a lawyer. He's like a Hollywood guy. He had his own TV show with Jimmy Kimmel. You know Jimmy Kimmel, right?
The late night talk show.
Yeah. So in the 90s, Jimmy Kimmel was young, and he was funny in the 90s. And he was the sidekick on a show on Comedy Central called Win Ben Stein's Money. And it was like Jeopardy, except you weren't allowed to ask questions. I mean, you weren't allowed to answer with a question. You had to answer with an answer. And if you answered with a question, they'd make you put on a dunce cap, which was pretty funny. But Ben Stein was a contestant, always a contestant. And supposedly he was putting up his own money. And that's why it was called Win Ben Stein's Money. And Jimmy Kimmel would ask the questions. And he would have one-liners and jokes in there. And it was a pretty good show. But Ben Stein had been a Nixon speechwriter. And then William Safire, who he died maybe 8-10 years ago, but he was a well-known columnist for the New York Times, and he had been a Nixon speechwriter. And you know, it's, you see, like, oh, and then of course Trump's speechwriter, who was in the Trump world was on the decent side, but Stephen Miller, Trump, you know, and it's not just that they're Jewish, but when they're writing speeches, they're in their 20s. So you get these 20-year-old Jews writing speeches for the president of the United States. And how does that work?
Well, that's that's what they call Jewish privilege. And you know what else is Jewish privilege? Pointing the fact that if we point out that they're Jews, we get branded anti-Semites and haters.
Yeah.
It's also Jewish privilege, being able to call us all those names.
Yeah. But anyway, getting back to Victoria Nuland. So, she's married to Robert Kagan, who's probably best known to our audience as, along with William Crystal, the co-founder of the Project for a New American Century, who had a publication. I can't remember what the publication was called. It wasn't Protecting the Realm. I think that was something else for Israel. But they had a some sort of blueprint for the 20th century. This was published in maybe 1998-99 when the neocons were kind of out of power, because the neocons were the pro-Israel Jews inside the Republican Party. And in the 90s, Clinton was in charge, and he had his own crew of Jews. He had his own Jew crew of, like, Madeleine Albright. And there's not really that much difference between his Jew crew and the neocons, but, you know, Madeleine Albright and... Who else did he have in there? He had William Cohen was his Secretary of Defense and Secretary of Treasury. He had first Robert Rubin, and then he had Robert Rubin was second, but he had him for 4 years, and then he had Lawrence. Oh, what's the guy's name? It was at Harvard. Lawrence. Fat.
I can't think of it off the top of my head, but
Larry Summers, that was his name. Okay, so I mean, he had his own Jew crew, Sandy Berger as the national security advisor, but the neocons, that's what people know. And of course, Victoria Nuland, she's been in the State Department, mostly on, sometimes off. She was, when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, Victoria Nuland was the State Department spokesman. And then when Kerry came in, I guess, was it his decision to elevate her to the position of Assistant Secretary for European and Eurasian Affairs, and that made her the point person for the Ukrainian government overthrow. She's the one who famously said F the EU on a cell phone conversation with the American ambassador that was intercepted. There's a whole bunch of stuff. I've told this story before. I once wandered into her office when I had some other business at the State Department, and I took a picture. The secretary told me to delete it, but I took a picture of this weird meme on the door. And so go to nationalbugle.com and look in the meme section, because I'm about to put it up there. I haven't put it up there yet, but it should be up by the time this is broadcast. This weird meme making fun of Putin and Alexander Lukashenko. And unfortunately, it's just a picture of a door with a meme on it, but it was Victoria Nuland's door. And it's the first time I've published it. I sent it to Stephen F. Cohen to see what he thought. But anyway, okay. Let's see. We are got about another minute. No, we got a couple more minutes to go. But there's that really hostile, belligerent speech coming out of Victoria Nuland, and then she's the number three at the State Department. Blinken's number one. And of course, Blinken, we know him from last year, where he was very obnoxious to the Chinese. And then you have Wendy Sherman. She's number two. And they're all Jews. They're all Jews. Why should we have three Jews at the State Department? I mean, the odds of that are like what? Is it like 100,000 to one? I think it's like somewhere in the neighborhood of 100,000 to one. I don't know who the number four is. And if the number four is also just happens to be Jewish, then it just happens to be 6 million to one odds. But anyway, I know I'm just rambling and talking. And Wendy Sherman was in negotiations with her counterpart, the Russian deputy foreign minister. And the talks did not go well. And Wendy Sherman is insisting that America has a veto over Russian troop movements within Russia, and that it's a no starter to talk about not expanding NATO into Ukraine and Georgia. So it's getting very confrontational, and of course it's also getting confrontational with China. And it seems that the Chinese and the Russians are having very good relations. And is that something we should be worried about?
Well, that's a very good thing that China and Russia are strengthening their relations, because China and Russia are going to need each other to essentially survive the fallout of the American Empire. And you know, I think they will. But you know, when the United States of America explodes, you know, which is what we're witnessing before our very own eyes, and it's going to accelerate as time goes on. The thing is, when the U.S. empire explodes, it has a good chance that it might take down a good portion of the world with it. You know, and when I say explode, that includes World War III, starting out World War III, and you know, the U.S. nuclear capability and all that. So pretty much all nations that are opposed to the American empire, with the two strongest being Russia and China, are going to need each other by the fallout and the crash of the American empire, which, yeah, is exploding before our very face.
Okay. Well, we'll have more on that when we come back. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Okay, we are back, and of course, it's a common theme we talk about that the United States, the American Empire, if you want to call that, or Zog, it is showing signs of stress, signs of potentially coming apart at the seams, which could be a nasty thing. And you know, Israel has its Samson option, and we don't have that as a military doctrine. But it is really, really scary to think of a society with so much internal instability being in charge of, you know, one of the two biggest nuclear arsenals on Earth and the largest military arsenals. That's pretty scary, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just like, remember a few months ago I played the clip from the Peter Kuznick, the professor of nuclear politics or something, where he said that all empires fall, but we've never seen an empire that has had the capability to take down the entire world with it when it falls.
Which I actually don't quite agree with, because, you know, it depends how you categorize the Soviet Union. It was dismembered. It went through massive, calamity. And it had all those nuclear weapons at the time, but good enough. It was scary. It was scary when it happened, and everybody knew it was scary. But here's the thing: the Soviet Union, it had stagnation, economic stagnation, and some bureaucratic repression and whatnot, for basically most of its existence. I mean, there were some times of fast economic growth, but the periods of fast economic growth were always after the economy had been completely destroyed, either by World War, Revolution, Civil War, or another World War. And, you know, so coming back up to, a survivability level, that happened quickly enough. But economic growth or economic improvement into anything that made life fun to live, that really never happened. But under Putin for the past 22 years, things have gotten much, much better. And so, you know, the Russians have a reason to support their government, I would say. And even though they're coming from, you know, a lower level, but they're definitely coming up. In China, of course, it's so miraculous. They'd had some bad centuries, in particular the first half, well, the first 80 years of the 20th century were really bad for them. But over the past 40 years, 40, 42, 43 years, they've been doing really well. And so the Chinese people have reasons to support their government. But what do we have in the United States? How many people could say things are really getting better?
Well, let's see here. You got Black Lives Matter burning down cities and them being praised and rewarded by the Jewish mainstream media, as well as these creatures within our federal government. You got the January 6th protesters who went to peacefully protest against an openly, blatantly fraudulent, cheated election, only to be violently crushed by the federal regime and thrown in prison, where they're rotting in prison now, and their prison guards are from the Congo, who hate their guts because they're white. Mm-hmm. And then you also got the state of the economy in general, with the nonstop printing of money and the hyperinflation about to kick into overdrive, and then also the a lot of small businesses going out of business and all that wealth being stolen from the small, the working and middle classes all the way to the billionaires. What is it? Working people's lose $3.5 trillion in a time, and then the billionaires gain $3.7 trillion in a time, those headlines. So I can't really say there's anything to be proud of.
No. And, you know, you can go out, you can go to a Walmart or a strip mall or a regular enclosed mall, one of, you know, that were so much fun to go to and hang out in the 1970s. You can go, or just go to a public high school, public school. Any public school, they're promoting the gangster rap type of stuff. But you go to a high school. Go to a high school sporting event, a football game, and you're going to see, gangster rap culture black boys hanging all over these white blonde cheerleader types. You're seeing everybody getting fat. You're seeing, get back to the public schools, coming out parties, coming out celebrations for gay and transgender teenagers. You're seeing, if you go to a public school, most places, you're going to see that the majority of children in most places, the majority of children, substantial majority of children even, are non-white. Often they are recent third world immigrants. What is getting better in America besides maybe the cell phones?
And even those.
Like, it's a small consolation, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just I guess people's access to social media and their self celebrity status might be the only thing that's quote unquote getting better.
Mm. And then all the corona apocalypse stuff. Mandates from everybody. But okay, we're at the break, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Okay, so everything I was just talking about in the last segment, you found encapsulated into a meme. Why don't you describe that meme? And we'll put it up also on National Bugle so our listeners can access it.
Yeah, so this meme, I mean, it's absolutely brilliant. It's the everything that you and I have been talking about for the entire time. And then, of course, you even before I came on the air talking about in regards to China and the state of the U.S. can be summed up in this one meme. Very perfectly. So basically, it's the meme looks like this. So you have this dumb American, this typical brain dead American with the I don't know what kind of meme face that is, but you know the really ugly looking troll type of face.
Yeah, kind of like retarded troll or something. And people can go to nationalbugle.com and see it.
Yeah, the retarded troll face. So he's sitting in his living room. And he's slurping on a McDonald's drink, and he's watching the TV, and it's Fox Jews, and there's this this Jew on the TV, and he's presenting a picture of President Xi Jinping, and the Chinese, what appears to be a Chinese man marching, and the caption says, "China is too dangerous. China wants war." Meanwhile, right outside his window, there's two windows. On one window, you got blacks rioting and burning down cities and jumping all over police cars. And then on the other window, you got a bunch of gay fags, a bunch of, perverts, molesting a child, basically, with the faggot pride flag and everything. And then back inside his living room, you got at the very corner, you got Amazon spyware spying on him, monitoring what he's doing, which I guess is talking about, Alexa, that stupid thing that a lot of people keep in their houses, and it pretty much spies on them.
Yeah, and then what app is on his cell phone?
Yeah, COVID Pass. So, I mean, this right here sums up everything.
And it's got an American flag framed in a picture frame, an American flag. And, of course, America, this is a non-racial country. This is multi-ethnic, multi-racial, multi-religious, diversity country. And it's defined by our values, right? What are our values? Because I can't remember.
Well, it's a global homo, gay anal trannyism, and black criminals treated like sacred objects. That's what
it's weird. I was walking today with my dogs, and we passed by a wall, and it had Black Lives Matter spray painted on it. Right. And then in white, it had, was it, "We are so sorry!" exclamation point and a heart. It seemed like it was written by a girl.
Yeah, that's.
Oh, no, it wasn't. It was "We are so sorry, comma, baby." And then an exclamation point and a heart.
Yeah, that reminds me. Did you see that other article by Andrew Anglin talking about how white women are the ones who are behind all these Bolshevik causes for the blacks and for all these other dark races and sexual degenerates?
And, Andrew has very, very harsh rhetoric that he uses, but there is just so much truth to it. And so you go out to the strip mall or whatever, and you see tons of foreigners who haven't been here long, and in some cases don't speak a word of English, but even if they do, whatever. You see tons of fat people. Everybody's fat and unhealthy. And some stores, like Walmart, they famously have those carts, so you don't even have to walk around in the store. You can just ride on your fatty cart. And then you'll see, like, all these white women who have giant hips and giant thighs, and they're in stretch leotards or whatever, and baggy sweaters or sweatshirts, and they've got their hair pulled up into a bun on the top. And when you see them, it is probably more than 50-50 chance that they're going to have a black boyfriend, or they got some mulatto kid that they're tagging along with them. I think it's more than 50-50. I mean, that because the thing is, that's not attractive to white men anyway, but blacks have very different standards.
Yeah. In fact, I saw it the other day. I went down to my bank, and I was talking to the banker, who is this woman. And I saw on her desk, she was a blonde, woman. Obviously, she had to dress up professionally because it's bank. But I saw on her desk she had a mulatto kid, And of course the quote unquote dad was nowhere in the picture, nowhere to be found. So probably a single quote unquote mother.
And the thing is, like, I remember, because I'm old, I'm a boomer, and I remember in the when I was in Boy Scouts 50 years ago, the scoutmaster just making fun, small talk to the kids, and we had at times we had one or at most two blacks in the troop, but the blacks weren't interested in the Boy Scouts. If you had a nerdy black who hung out with whites, it could happen, but in general, except for the nerdy black, you wouldn't have blacks in the Boy Scouts. And it wasn't like we were all racist or anything. We're just Americans. We're just like, white Americans, without asterisks. And the you know, like a new 11-year-old kid would come into the Boy Scouts, and the scoutmaster would be joking with him and say, "Oh, so are you married?" And you know, that's funny because 11-year-olds aren't married. Oh, no. You got a girlfriend? And usually that's no too, but maybe, yeah, I got a girlfriend. Oh, is she black? And, no, of course she's not black. You know, it was all a joke. It was just a complete joke. And then as time went on, well, then you would, on the rare occasions, hear about a, you know, the black and the white getting married or something like that. Usually it didn't last long. I think my third grade teacher, who was very pretty, but she was a Jew, she wound up getting married to a black after I had her. It was like a few years later, but she wound up getting married to a black, and she changed her name from like Miss Cohen to Miss Smith or something like that. And then a few years later, changed it back to Miss Cohen. I wonder why. And then you just started seeing a little bit more and a little bit more. But even 20 years ago, I remember going to some anti-war rallies that were in largely black areas. And you would see in the black areas, you would see some really fat, ugly white women walking around there. But it wasn't anything that I thought was alarming. It just was like, well, okay, what else? I mean, you know, it's not much of a loss for the white people. And, you know, like the black men just have very low standards. But it's just gotten to the point where then, like a few years ago, I started being surprised that it wasn't only fat, ugly women, but actually decent looking young girls. Like I'd go to a high school football game or something, and I'd see kind of a ghetto kind of guy hanging around with a cheerleader. Like, that don't make sense. And now what I'm seeing, it's like been retrofitted to even to boomers, but certainly to like middle-aged women. So I'm seeing like women in their 50s or 60s with some black guy in tow. And like, you know, it was so rare 20, 30, 40 years ago that I know they haven't been together very long. And I have the feeling an awful lot of it is just these black guys, and they're effectively like gigolos, and this is, you know, they're taking advantage of the woman's salary or her retirement or whatever. But I'm seeing that. I don't know if you've been seeing it, but I've started seeing it. This is going really, really fast. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, more and more by the day. You know, where I'm at, I would say it's probably nowhere near as bad as where you're at, but, you know, just for example, like the other day at the bank, and, you know, examples here and there where you will see them. Or, you know, the other day, this was a while ago, but I went out to eat at a restaurant, and yeah, right next to me, in the table next to me, there was some white married couple that was taking their daughter out, their blonde daughter out, to eat, and she had a black boyfriend.
Mm.
She had a black boyfriend, and he was no what's that one actor?
Sidney Poitier, who just died last week.
Yeah, he was no Sidney Poitier. Like, this guy had dreadlocks and earrings, you know, the diamond earrings that blacks like to wear, and just your stereotypical.
He was sitting down, but if he stood up, would his pants show his butt? That's what they do. I mean, that's what they've been doing for years. They've got those low rider jeans, and their whole butt sticks out.
Yeah,
it's got underwear, but they got their underwear butt sticking out. That's been a fashion for a while.
Yeah, I didn't look that close. I didn't want to look that closely because it was kind of disgusting. But yeah, I mean, this guy was your stereotypical N-word. This white cuck of a father was just sitting there, just taking it from this black guy instead of standing.
Yeah, but we're all being cucked. We're all being cucked, and you know it's really, really hard. You want to just even talk to your kids. Statistically speaking, excuse me, if we're going to tell people not to text and drive. I mean, statistically speaking, it's a lot more dangerous in terms of death rate from either violence or sexually transmitted diseases. It's way more dangerous for girls to have black boyfriends, for young girls to have black boyfriends or get married to a black. It's much more dangerous, much more deadly than texting while driving.
Oh yeah, and it's irreparable too. The long-term consequences are irreparable.
It's irreparable, and you know, then if they have a mulatto kid, then any man in the, you know, and odds are, I mean, you can look at the data. The black-white marriages are twice as prone to divorces as white-white, if not twice as prone to divorce. They're half as prone to survival, something like that. But, you know, so many of them aren't going to get to the marriage state anyway. And so you get all these women who are left with a mulatto kid. And then any white man who is going to who might marry her, well, then he's got that whole stigma, although it's being destigmatized. But, you know, to have your wife's first son from another, obviously from another relationship, and now you're taking care of him. But even if it's not, you're directly taking care of an individual black kid like that, as a collective, I mean, these white single mothers, white single mothers with the black mulatto kid are likely to be on some sort of public assistance, and also their kids are going to get affirmative action. And so, I mean, we just get cuckolded and cuckolded and cuckolded. Predominantly white taxpayers are paying for all of this, and it's just gotten to be, I mean, in some areas where I go, I just see it seems like one third of white women have black kids or black boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how is this sustainable? And I mean, I don't know what can save us, but I know that fighting a war against Russia and or China doesn't make any sense, and they're not the ones that are inflicting this on us.
And it's them that will probably save us.
If anything, if there's any salvation, it is. I don't see any salvation that doesn't come without good relationships with Russia and China.
Yeah, short of them, Russia and China, basically governing us directly.
I wish. I don't know how that would happen, but I wish. But okay, here's the thing. So we're America's defined by our values. We're going to be in the coming weeks talking about Chinese values, which don't have to be the same as ours, but what are Chinese values?
Okay, so Chinese values are based on primarily on Confucianism, on traditional Chinese philosophy, which, you know, stresses the importance between balance and harmony of nature, and also respect for order, respect for society, and respect for elders. Basically, it is a kind of, you could say, hierarchical standards, to where, you know, you have the leaders on top, and then you have the, you know, various rankings below until, you know, the common people. And, you know, there's an order in everything. It starts with the family. The Chinese values emphasizes the family as the foundational building block of Chinese society, Chinese civilization. Not the individual, the family. And it's with this family, there's a hierarchical standard to where, yeah, the elders, the grandparents come on top, and then the parents, and then the children. And the children are always to respect the parents, and especially the grandparents. And this is essentially what Confucianism is. You know, there's a Confucianism is a very, very deep and, shall we say, complex ideology or philosophy. And there's definitely a lot to talk about of Confucianism, but to sum it up, it's basically just respect for order and nature and harmony.
Mm-hmm. And so, okay, respect and order, harmony, these are Chinese values. Now, I mean, when I was a kid, values were freedom, right? Freedom, personal freedom, and liberty, which is different from freedom because it begins with the letter L. Which is fine, and you know, different groups of people with different histories, it wouldn't be too unreasonable to think that there might have been a little bit of biological evolution that emphasizes one value or another, whatever. But is why would Chinese people in China, having a culture that values harmony and order and respect, why is that a threat?
Because that's everything that the Jew stands against, all the decent values of really humanity, is everything the Jew is opposed to, and everything that, you know, the vehicle for Jewish hegemony, the American Empire, wants to inflict damage on.
And it's what are Jewish values? I don't know. I think the main Jewish value, and I don't mean to be mean or anything, but the main Jewish value is the promotion of Jewish ethnic interests, however that's perceived. That seems to me to be the main value, and we have to understand that. But we're at the break. We'll be right back.
Have you ever needed to make a phone call but didn't want the person you're calling to know that it was you on the other end? Have you ever needed to make a call and wanted to keep your phone number and location private? Well, now you can with PatriotPhone.com. PatriotPhone.com will enable you to make unlimited calls anonymously. That's right, unlimited anonymous phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and 36 countries around the world. Our most popular phone plan includes unlimited calls, your own phone number, voicemail, call forwarding, and many other great features. Visit PatriotPhone.com to get your own phone number in any state and take back control of your phone calls. PatriotPhone.com also allows you to record your calls and access all of your phone records online. PatriotPhone.com works with iPhones, Android-based phones, and Windows computers. Protect your privacy and your freedom with unlimited anonymous telephone service from PatriotPhone.com. Today, that's PatriotPhone.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Okay, so just before the break, I said I thought the main Jewish value was the promotion of their perception of Jewish interests. I'm not trying to be mean. Is that accurate? What are Jewish values?
Yeah, well, in the way I would say it, the main Jewish values, the main aspect of Jewish values is going against nature. That's what Jewish values are. It's completely contrary to nature, to the natural order. For anyone who's religious and a Christian out there, they would cite the verse 1 Thessalonians 2:15, I think, where St. Paul basically says that the Jews are they killed the Lord Jesus and they are contrary to all men. And that's basically what it is. They're against everybody. They're against nature itself. And the Jews are basically the anti, you could say anti-race, the anti natural human to everybody. And that's what the Jews are in any society or nation that promotes natural values and family values, traditional values. Those societies have to be destroyed in the mind of the Jew, whether it's traditional Western civilization or Far Eastern civilization. And of course, we know the Jew, the way he does this first is through something called liberalism, which liberalism is completely against nature.
So I'm not even that sure that Jewish values are that different from, say, European values, but the priorities are different. And so, maybe they've got, even if they had like the same 10 values, for instance, the priorities are different. And for Europeans, I don't know if promotion of ethnic interest would be on the list anymore, but maybe it was, but it's might not be on the list now. But if it is, it's like the bottom priority. And for Jews, it's the top priority. And then because they tend to have this zero-sum game mentality, if you have a zero-sum game mentality and your top priority is maximizing your own perceived ethnic interest, group interest, then you are going to seek to subvert the interests of other groups that you see as competitors. And right now Europeans are the main competitors, but the Europeans are virtually vanquished, and it's obvious that the Chinese and other East Asians are next on the list. I think it's obvious. And so
A good way to put it would be the Jews, they advanced their ethnic interests, their racial interests, by going against nature.
And it's not necessarily that their instinct is to go against nature, because you'll see that they protect these things in Israel, right? I mean, there's no gay marriage in Israel. They don't have mass immigration into Israel. So all these things that we're complaining about for America, they don't do it in Israel. So it's not as if they don't value it. They value it for themselves. But because the priority is promoting their own perceived self-interest in a zero-sum world, then they actively try to subvert the interests of other groups. And especially if you think, like, families and things like that, nature, that this is a value, but you're trying to subvert the other group, then you're going to try to impose contradictory values on the other group. That's what I think. We're out of time. We look forward to you doing your deep dive into Chinese values and talking about it in the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that will be a little teaser. Chinese values versus liberalism. Will shape the international normative order.
Thank you. All right, well, we'll be back again, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Legal Radio.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.